podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandewakandewe, also known as Aka. So this is the first episode after I took a break for a week. So welcome back, guys. The team and I just needed a break because things might have been falling apart. Not really, but we just needed a break. But I'm very excited to be back. And the break was just a day or a week. Felt like a long time. Anyway, so today's guest is somebody I truly admire. I have worked with her, and every time I see her work or every time I interact with her, I'm like, when I grow up, I want to be like her. I know it sounds like I say this about everybody, but because I worked closely with her for a few months, it's like that auntie, you're always like, hey, how did you do that? I also want to know how you got to be the person you are, because I am somehow trying to be that girl too. So with that being said, today's guest is Sandra. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Aka. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to be on your podcast. I'm honored. I'm bold. And I'm just here to have this fun conversation with you. And I wish we were together, you know, sharing a popcorn, glass of wine or whatever. So we'll make that happen later.
I think I will have an episode because we're about to go video.
Yoo-hoo!
So, and I'm like, I know. So I hope you get to be one of the guests where we do a little setup. We have our wine. I think we would have such a fun conversation with wine.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I just need to make sure that I do my hair, that I look the part. And thank you for, you know, keeping it audio today, because this might not have been a very pleasant look. No. It's still morning and I'm still in my my workout clothes and foot. But it's fine.
You're such a joy to talk to, Sandra. I think I always say this to you every time I get a chance to see you. It's such a joy, and it was such an honor to work with you for a few months. I told Chatimu to say, Sandra is that lady I want to be like. She's living the life I want to lead, but with a company, which is so much fun. But when I look at your work and what you're doing, I'm so inspired to kind of have that in my life and work towards that. So how did you stumble upon the work you do? I wouldn't say stumble upon, but for lack of better term.
No, it's very stumble upon. It wasn't a clear career path where I knew from the beginning that I would be where I am today, because, believe it or not, I'm still trying to figure out where I am, where I have to be. And I'm that young auntie. I'm in my 40s. But there's still a lot of things that I have to learn, relearn, adapt to, because life has made me, you know, move around a lot. And so every time I'm moving to a new place, it's a new adventure. So I can't talk about, being in an employment for 20 years and having a very linear career, because that's not me. I'm moving with my heart a lot and sometimes accepting the mistakes that go with it. But just to give a background of who I am, so you can hear my accent. So I'm originally from Congo. So my dad is from Congo, Republic Democratic of Congo. My mom is from the other Congo, Brazzaville. But I grew up in Belgium. So I spent, all my forming year, all my, childhood in Belgium. And I moved to Zambia a bit more than 10 years now. So before that, I've been moving around for school. I studied marketing and communication in Belgium. Then I have a certificate in project management from New York University. Then I am passionate about learning. I'm passionate about learning. So I did a lot of certification. Every time there's something about creativity and communication, I've been in there. So whether it's photography, videography, training people to also to share with them whatever I know, I have always enjoyed that. So when I arrived in Zambia, I've, you know, had already built a career working mostly with international organization such as the EU, UN, whether it was from the communication agency side or from, you know, internally. And when I arrived in Zambia, I, you know, it was a new adventure, not knowing anyone, not able to, you know, I don't have the network, I don't have the right people around, I mean, the people around me to guide me. So everything had to, you know, to be created and to be developed. So that's something that have, I mean, my flexibility and my adaptability have helped me just create a path or create a system around flexibility. And we're living in a world where this is right now the number one skills. A lot of stuff now are available, ChatGPT or any sort of AI. But when we talk about soft skills, when we talk about resilience, flexibility, adaptability, those are things that, you know, there's no AI tool that can create that. So it's really about us and how we navigate. We navigate all that. But yeah, I'm talking a lot. I don't know if I'm even answering your question. I'm just like, blah, blah. Am I even answering your question? Like, please put me back on the right path. I've been going astray. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I have a follow-up question. Is you've talked a little bit about your career and how you are originally from Congo, raised in Belgium, settled in Zambia almost 10 years now. What do you think of leaving home to come to Zambia? How was that transition for you? I know you've a little bit mentioned about you're already working with international organizations, but on a personal side, what did it take to kind of leave what's very familiar and come to a place that's not, the culture is very different, the people are very different, and you still have to kind of have that the adaptability and flexibility to kind of thrive in such an environment?
Yeah, I mean, luckily, it's you know, Zambia wasn't my, you know, my first experience living in on the continent. So I was living in on the other side in Gabon, so a small country in Central Africa, and I was already like the first shock of leaving home had already been made that when I moved that side. And the idea was, I remember my husband and I, when we were in Belgium, we always wanted to move back to Africa, but we didn't want to move to any of our country. So I didn't want to move to Congo, none of both Congos, and he didn't want to move back to Togo or Ghana. That was our agreement. Like, the continent is big, let's try to find other places, because we wanted a fresh experience, not something where we are going to find the aunts there, we're going to be hammered by family members. You know, that was going to be, yeah, too much for us. So we wanted to make it our own. So we were blessed to have opportunities that first him, that sent him to Gabon. So as a good wife, I followed with our son. And what I did there was, you know, first being a homemaker wife, but I'm very much of a hyperactive, so that wasn't enough for me. So since I didn't have, you know, same thing, I didn't have the connection or anything, I I created it. I would meet people at the gym. I would meet the same people in the supermarket or with a few friends. And one day I said, you know what? There are people like me who don't have the connection, who don't necessarily know the people, and they just know a few people here and there, and they want to have more visibility to what's out there professionally, because it's kind of a place where you need to know people to have access, and I didn't have that access. So I went or went to a restaurant that has just opened, and I said, I want to organize a networking event here. I would like to bring people from different horizon, different networks, whether it's the international network, whether it's the expats, the local, you know, because I believe that, you know, we are everyone's, you are someone else's solution. You are the assistant that a boss is waiting for. You are the finance person that, you know, a coach needs or an entrepreneur needs to just structure their work. Like everyone in our capacity, we are someone's solution. Even the person, your help at home, is your solution to make your life easier. So whether it's looking up or looking down, you are someone's solution. And luckily for me, when I opened that restaurant door, this guy was looking at a way to have more people in his restaurant. And I said, I'm going to open a network. I want to create a networking event because I feel like there's a lot of soft skills that people don't get at school or don't get if they don't enter the professional space. These are not learned in books. They are learned by meeting people, by being mentored, by being supported, that someone helps you just navigate those, you know, professional streets or corporate streets that need some grooming. And so I you know, things were just went with me creating an ad on with Photoshop at the time. There was no Canva yet. You know, talking to the few people that I know, saying, oh, there's this guy that has agreed to open his restaurant for me to have a networking event. And he just want people to, you know, to charge a little fee. So I will have to charge a little fee. But the idea is to have people come and talk about the importance of your social network, of who you meet and how to not use people, but actually get people to mentor you or to support your professional path, especially for younger people, and just giving few tips and on how to progress. So this is funny how for me this was really God ordained, because I then met at church a guy who used to do, you know, similar things but had, you know, left it behind. And I said, no, I need you to talk, because he was super eloquent and very good in giving tips on how to navigate, you know, professional life. And there was also a radio show that, you know, to then communicate or give visibility to this event, I needed to, you know, put not just my flyers out there, but also talk about it. And there was a radio show that talked about the importance of connecting people, of having, you know, not just connecting with your uncle or this or that to give you open doors, but being ready to connect with new people. So that's when I called in. It was a phone-in radio show, and I called and I said, oh, by the way, I'm organizing this event. This is a networking event where I want people to put themselves in as a solution for someone else. So I want people to come to network, to meet other professionals, regardless of your career path, regardless of what you do, but to be out there and not find an excuse that, oh, I can't find work, I can't find this, I can't find that. But being there to say, you know what, I'm going to serve, and I have services to offer, and I'm just going to show up. So this has, you know, caught the attention of a lot of people starting registering, coming. There was even a company that said that they would sponsor the alcohol at the event because they wanted to sponsor to I'm telling you, because they wanted to promote their new drink and new whiskey. So they said, oh, the place is great. The event is perfect for our target audience. So we want to offer the first drink. So that was covered. Then there's a magazine that covering events in the city that wanted to cover the event. So all of a sudden, just like that, and that's where for me, it's really, you know, act of faith. It's, you know, I didn't know anyone. I didn't know that I'm new in this country, right? I'm new in this country. I'm just like trying to operate. I won't say without fear, but I'm gonna operate, you know, embracing this fear and just believing that things are going to just, yeah, put themselves together at some point. And that's what happened. So the first event gathered 50 people. But people were really, you know, they were just curious because they're like, we don't know. It's a small place, right? So people know each other. So they're like, we don't know this woman. We don't know who she's affiliated to. We don't know what it is about. So people, the first event was really catching the curious people who were like, yeah, we need such event in Gabon because we people either meet at the club. They meet, you know, within their own circle. So this was something very more international and, you know, much needed apparently. So that was event one. Event two, we went to another place. They were just very keen to have the traffic and the people coming. We managed to double the numbers. The first event didn't make any money. The first event had a little profit, you know, just to cover the marketing and cover all the advertising done. And then the last event, because I did like five, I started to have a team. We ended up with the last event, the last because I had to leave the country. I was pregnant and went back home to give birth. And there was nobody, and that was my mistake at the time. I didn't groom anyone to take over. But the last event, we had over 500 people. We had sponsors. We had, you know, people just sharing their work experience. We had companies organizing, you know, like quick recruitment on the spot. I had a lot of feedback of people saying that, oh, I met this director or manager of this company, and I had a good conversation with them, and we are following up with an interview. Some people got a job. So it was more on a, you know, a relaxed platform, but yet people were very much into promoting themselves, into equipping. It was really about equipping the entrepreneurs, equipping the creative, or even the artisan to know how to operate and how to show yourself, show your work, and in a professional way. Making sure that they have the right system in place. And on the other side, it was for the young professional operating in the corporate space to elevate their profile. So that was this kind of event that I used to organize. So that was back in Gabon, then moving to Zambia after, it was back in 2015 that I moved here. And the same thing, new. Yeah.
Looking 10 years, sorry. I said a year. Yeah, 10 years.
10 years, yeah. So same thing with Zambia. You arrive here, you don't know anyone. But by then I had proven myself that, oh, I can adapt anywhere. Like, I am the kind of person, I believe right now, that you, there's no environment that I shy away from. There's no room where I believe I don't belong. And when I look at my friends, my circle of friends, but also my larger network, it is very wide in terms of diversity of work, of race, of age, because it's so important. It's so important for people to not be caught in the life algorithm or just evolving with people that are only like you. If you are a Christian, have your Muslim friends. If you are a vegetarian, have your friends who eat meat. If you are hear from the people, you get so much information, especially if you operate like me with in communication, in marketing, etc. Sitting down with people who are so different from you is refreshing. It opens your mind to so many. It makes you less stubborn and open yourself to so much creativity from others and learning from others. So that's how I wonder if I'm answering your question.
Okay. You keep asking that. I'm taking you back to Gabon. When I was listening to you speak, it's actually describing the type of person you are now, because you might not, create so many events, you're part of the organizing teams for so many events, but you might not create that specific event. Like, I haven't seen it yet anyway, but you might not still do it exactly the same way you did it in Gabon. But I feel like you do it in so many different ways. Because it's surprising how many people know you, Sandra.
For real?
Yes. Sometimes I'm with someone, I'm like, you know Sandra? And I'm like, yeah, you know? Like, I'm like, okay. Like, you're such a teacher for so many of us. And I have seen you go create and organize amazing stuff and have young people be part of it. And I'm like, that's Sandra's doing. So sometimes when I look at certain work, I feel like I know your style of work now, that I'm like, okay, this does sound like Sandra's work, or Sandra has a hand in it, which is amazing to see for somebody you also gave an opportunity to. It's really nice to know that you're one of the people out there that's actively finding ways for young people, especially, to kind of thrive and learn more, get more skill sets. Because I feel like in Zambia's particular, it's one thing that's very hard is getting opportunity when you know nothing to learn and have somebody patiently teach you and guide you. It's something we were lacking in Zambia, and it's really, on behalf of everybody, I'm grateful that you do that actively in your work.
Thank you for that. I think that's something that I'm probably doing it because I missed it when I was younger. Like, I've never had a real mentor per se, like someone next to me holding my hand or saying, try to apply here. Someone who would, I've never had someone like this in my life. And that's really not because I was stubborn. I didn't want to learn. It's just that it didn't happen. And I was discussing that with a friend of mine who has like a very good position in Visa in New York City. And she said the same thing. And it's just people, maybe to our personality, they think we got it covered. Like we know it all. And so many times I wish there was someone next to me to just guide me and help me avoid some situation and some challenges that had I had the opportunity to have someone next to me, I would have avoided. So it's probably coming from a place where I don't want someone to go through what I've been through. And if there's giving someone an opportunity and getting that text message from, thanks to you, or thanks to your recommendation, next to, thanks to what you said, I was able to, oh my God, that makes me so happy. Like literally it makes my day when I can see that through a little bit of, you know, of my contribution to, you know, elevate their work or to give them visibility to whatever they were doing on the side. I'm happy, you know, to see someone that, because right now, like I said before, you can, you know, do your studies, etc., and be out there. But if you have the right personality, character, you know, if you're malleable enough to let people support you, you'll go far. You'll go very far. And I have the opportunity to meet a lot of young Zambians and other nationalities as well that they are so good, so talented, and they just need like that support or that someone that says, hey, I know a guy who knows a guy who needs you. So if that's who I am, and I guess by what I've done so far, it feels like that's what I've been good at, then so be it. And supporting, now I'm more of a behind the scene person. So yeah. I call myself the behind the scene superhero, because maybe some people don't, it's true. Some people don't know that it was thanks to me or through me, but I definitely had an influence.
You do? So, and it's not even a joke. I am like, hey, that text to Sandra would save me, but yeah. And this is why I want to be like you, right? And this is so bold to say. I want to be a behind-the-scenes person, and everything I do is, I just want to do stuff that pushes other people to get more experience, exposure, and skill sets, because mm-hmm. I know that I have been privileged enough to have access to people that have helped me to be where I am. Yeah. And if I can create more opportunities for people to have access to that, to those type of people if possible, or have that information to say, you could actually create this for yourself. And if I know the person that knows a person sometimes, I'm happy to share if they are willing to go the extra mile. And that's why mm-hmm. I'm like, every time you're speaking, I'm like, I definitely want to be like Sandra in 10 years, like a behind the scene person. I don't want anyone to ever know what I really do, which is true. No one really knows what I really do. But as long as it's really changing people's lives and other people are there to kind of implement what I'm doing, or I empower them enough to do what I'm doing, even if I'm not around, I think I would have achieved my purpose.
I mean, honestly, I reached a point where I had so many, you know, I'm a facilitator, I'm a moderator, I'm an event organizer, I'm a communication expert. I can also be like an interpreter from in French to English, etc. I've been mentoring people. So I have so many hats that at some point I'm like, okay, I should serve all this within one organization or having one clear, you know, good office work, corporate work somewhere. And at some point I'm like, you know, the fact that my life has been, you know, through the work of my family members, like me, etc., I had to move around quite a lot. Stability doesn't seem to be my thing. So I just have to embrace that instability and just see that I am a short mission type of person. Like, you have me for 6 months, I'll give my best for you to your project for 8, you know, a week, or, you know, 3 months, or whatever it is, to make things work. And that's what I'm dedicated to right now. What I want to do is, as long as it pays my bills, give me the opportunity to go and travel the world, take care of my family, and enjoy things at the same time, then that's fine. But you know, at some point, especially at my age, when you see a lot of your friends who are head of this or head of that in a big corporation, at some point you want to be part of that too. But I guess at some point I had to realize that you can be your own corporation. You can be your brand is you. So it's also for me the opportunity to say, I am not, you know, behind the people behind the scene are very important, and they, you know, make the people in front of the scene shine. And that's a whole structure and system that have to be put in place that you can communicate and share with others. So it's, it's my, what I do, what my, I put my effort and company to do as well. So yeah, that's what I want to be known for. And that's what I want to, to just, I don't need this a specific job title. I want to be able to be this entrepreneur that supports, mentor, and keep growing. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell, I guess.
You know, again, listening to you speak, let's speak on me right now. I say this to people a lot. I'm okay with instability. Every time something is very structured and I do not have the freedom of my time, I work a lot. We're talking about this. Like, I like to work around my time, but I also like the flexibility of doing whatever I want. Sometimes people think that is not being grounded enough, because they think if I say I do whatever I want, it means I never work. But it's, I actually work. I'm like, I actually work a lot. It's just not at your terms. So I'm on a phase where I heard you say people get to have you for 6 months, for a week on a project, and that's okay. That's a phase I'm on. I'd call it a project to a client I have for like a year, and everybody around me keeps talking about, oh, would you want your contract renewed? Would you want? And I'm like, no, I'm okay. Like, I'm not thinking that far long. I'm thinking of what impact can I do here? What can I do to change this? And when I transition to something new, it's okay, because it's more than the money. It's, I have done my best here and I want to grow into something else. So I am going into a different project, something that will hinder the two activities. Advice would you have for a girl like me who's now in her mid-20s, figuring it out life and trying to her best to communicate that, hey, I actually like instability. My life is very instable. I'm a risk taker. I'm also very hyper. So I can't be in one room for a long time, or I just want to explore as much. What would you say to struggling?
I will say go ahead, great job. And I say you are exactly doing the right thing at the right time, because we are now moving in a time where stability is no longer part of anyone's vocabulary. We are in a very shaky, unstable era. And so if that's already part of your personality and who you are already winning. Because anyone who's looking for a lot of stability right now is lying to themselves, because no job is forever. You can be, you know, fired the next day, and that's anywhere. So it's really about now having the ability to, even for those 6 months that you worked with that company or that particular project that you have for 3 years, you make an impact. And now it's really about impact. So it's really not about being a diva and say, oh, I can only give you, you know, 6 months of my life, and then you're going to bore me and that's going to be too much for me. No, it's about keeping the mindset of, you know, I'm a servant leader. When I'm here, I'm going to serve the best I can. But you can see that I have the best attitude, and I have leadership in me. So while you're doing it, you're doing it, the time, like nobody can at the end of the project can say, oh, Akka gave us 6 months, but it was you know, useless. She didn't do a good job. Yeah. Like, nobody can badmouth you. So if you know that you're the kind of person, you don't need to say at the beginning, because sometimes also, like, yeah, young people out there, they can be dramatic. So they can already show their cards from the beginning. And so show their cards from the beginning. And you're like, nobody says that it's a marriage where we are going to be together for the rest of our life. It's work. We know that you want to evolve, you want to change, you want to go explore something else. That's fine. But while you are here, while we have this collaboration, let's give our best. And sometimes that's where the problem is with, you know, young entrepreneurs or young creatives that I work with, that I see around me, is that because they see they're talented, they don't want to put the effort in putting clear system and processes in place, and they acting like divas. So it's important to you know, set your boundaries and work, you know, make people understand what your worth is. But at this time, you have to, so that's very important. So what I would say is, to respond clearly to your question, is you are living the best time to be creative and an entrepreneur, and make, if you want to, you know, wake up at 3 a.m. because that's what's worked for you, to, you know, do deep work and focus on a particular thing, you have the opportunity to do it now. Like, with all this remote work, with the digital creators around us, the digital entrepreneurship that is around us, the opportunities are there, but it takes a lot of discipline as well, because there is no boss next to you telling you what to do. So kudos to what you're doing, and it's not easy to do it, you know, to be your boss, your employee, your assistant, your hype person, you know, to be doing all this. But it takes a lot of discipline, and before people see the glam, they need to realize that there's also, you know, you need to share the struggle, share the sleepless night, share the people who are like, no, I don't really like what you do. Do it again, instead of showing just the flexibility and hold the good part. I think people, sometimes we are not real enough. We don't talk about the struggle enough. We don't talk about the month where, you know, as an entrepreneur, creatives, when you broke, you broke. Like, there is no such thing as a little 3K. Yeah. There's no like, oh, employee broke. It's totally different than entrepreneur broke. Like, when there's nothing, there is nothing. and we're living also, you know, it's not, there's no, you know, parachute or anything that can help you. And if you don't have a family that has the ability or the means to support you, you are on your own.
True. I say this all the time. I always tell people that I'm grateful, especially for my parents and my uncles. Initially, they never wanted me to be an entrepreneur. I don't think anyone is very comfortable for me building my own company and doing what I'm doing currently and the life I'm leading. Mm-hmm. But over the years, I think they have been the more supportive of my endeavors, because I'm always like, well, I really don't have money. And it's not, I'm joking, I don't have money. It's like completely, I don't have money. Now they understand it, because anybody else would think you're joking. It's like, oh my goodness, you're broke? Like, are you broke or broke? And I'm like, I'm entrepreneur broke. Like, there's nowhere else I can get the money right now. So, yeah, it's very interesting, to be honest, to be an entrepreneur and live a very unstable life, but very stable to you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, can fast you hear me? Forward to that. Hi. Hi, Sandra, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you better now.
Okay. So fast forward to now. You're the cool auntie, like you mentioned. You're in your 40s, you're doing big things, but you are the background savior now. And one of my favorite events, I know I haven't come to one yet, I just think I'm never in the country when that happens, or in town, is the TEDx.
Really?
The TEDx. Yeah, like I'm never in the country. Like whenever something happens, I'm either out of town or out of the country. And I'm like, whoa, I missed another one. So I think that's like one of my favorite things that I can point at, that you are part of the organizing team and you collect these stories. How has been the experience so far?
I joined the team in 2016, if I remember well, May 2016. It was a big event, a side event of AFDB, African Development event. We had this TEDx Lusaka event. TEDx Lusaka had already been in Zambia, I think, for 2 years by then. And I joined the team as a volunteer. They had already a core team that was there. And now the team has grown. I am very proud to be, you know, to see all the speakers and the artists that we've managed to put on stage, and, you know, give platform to their idea and see the talent, the intelligence, all the stories and all the people, the change maker that are in Zambia. You know, whether it's in entertainment, in science, in technology, in development work, or people who are just asking a question that everybody's asking themselves, but never had really a platform to do it. The fact that we have TEDx Lusaka, TEDx Lusaka, which is one of the most consistent TEDx in Africa. Like, we've been recognized by the TED organization. The TEDx Lusaka curator is also TEDx Lusaka, TEDx Africa ambassador. That's a shout out to Masuka. But we managed to build a strong team. Now I'm part of the leading committee. So we love to put people on stage, sharing their experience, learning from them. And it's what I like with TEDx Lusaka is it's always new people, always new faces. Because what I've seen in Zambia, and not just in Zambia, it's something that we see a lot, is as soon as someone has sort of influence, we see them everywhere, and it's always the same faces. But with TEDx Lusaka, we make it a point to make sure that there is always new people, and often, you know, I like underdogs, and we go through a very strict process of people sharing the idea. So it starts with the idea before it starts with the person who's going to share the idea. You know, it's about what do you have to say before who are you? And that's, I believe, level the playing field, where we put on stage people who are not necessarily, you know, professional speakers, but they have an idea that catches the team attention. And then when they hear, when they're selected, then there is the support. Then we have a team of you know, coach that, you know, support them, refine the talk with them, who you know, are there to motivate them, etc. And on the other side, we also have you know, volunteers, young volunteer who wants to work and support the TEDx Lusaka organization. So I kind of lead also the volunteers. So I like, you know, recruiting the volunteer, training them, giving them the opportunity to, you know, do something that they've never done before. We need people in production. We need people at the library. We need people to, you know, support speakers. It's a whole production doing of SEDx Lusaka. So we need volunteers everywhere. And unfortunately, because there's not a lot of, you know, job opportunities, we know that for youth, volunteering is part of the things that would give a young people the opportunity to gain some work experience. We don't pay, but, you know, the value that the youth tell me that they get is amazing. I personally, you know, got a lot of great feedback from young people who were volunteers that are now working, and they were happy to, you know, they put TEDx Lusaka experience on their CV. And I got phone calls from employer just confirming and asking me if that they really worked well and I could, you know, be of recommend them. So yeah, I knew someone who had a, you know, a 6-month opportunity in a UN agency, someone else who work with the Alliance Française, other people who work in different places and can directly link that opportunity to what they've done with TEDx Lusaka. So I'm convinced, and I'm really pushing young people, and sometimes not just young people, people who want also a career change, to, you know, volunteer, to say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate my time to it because I'm learning. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to, you know, give myself 100% into this this activity.
I like that. I am such a big, I'm so big on volunteering, because I started volunteering when I was 15. I did not know why I started volunteering at 15. But my elder brother always said, it's going to make sense when you're in your mid-20s. Like, it might not make sense now, but there's so much you get from volunteering in different industries and working with different people. And I think you mentioned this earlier, to just say when you have traveled and worked with different people, then it means you are always in a different environment, and that always sparks some creativity of a new idea or just anything, just to kind of keep you going. So yeah, I totally relate to how much volunteering changes people's life, but also how volunteering is very limited, or volunteer opportunities are very limited in Zambia. So when you find them, like, grab them.
Hold on to it. And I love what you do with the, you know, the mentorship program, etc. I think this is important. And that's why I love what you do, where you also, you know, create opportunities and give platform to people where nobody can say, oh, but I don't know where to turn to or who to turn to access this and that. Because for me, that's where the problem is, you know, people are limited in where should I go to find this? Where should I go to find that? You know, an internship, you know, an opportunity to practice what I've done at the end of my studies, or a first job opportunity. Because I believe that it's not well structured here, so people have to do a lot of you know, door to door. And if you don't have that uncle with the right connection, auntie who has this small business, it's tough. And sometimes it's also about, okay, you've done the studies, you have the opportunities, but you don't necessarily know how to work. I've seen people who, you know, on paper, oh my God, amazing, but they don't know how to work. And so, you know, whether it's the working hours, the way of how to interact with their colleagues, et cetera, how to be a decent human being at the office, basically. this can be learned as well.
Yeah, Yeah. No, I totally get it. And I think for me, it was seeing that with my peers, knowing that I had the opportunity and they didn't. And for me, it's knowing that person that knew that person I met at a networking event, and they said, I know a girl, should be a great fit. And I'm like, well, what about those that have not had the opportunity to kind of network or play in the circles I'm in? How do we just level the playing field? So yeah, it's that for me for a while. So what lessons have you learned from working in different industries?
What lessons have learned from working in different industries? What I love about it is that it opens my eyes to things that I've, you know, like when I work on a video on covering farmers in, you know, Eastern Province or in Southern Province, I learned so much. I didn't know anything about agriculture or farming. So I love that. But I love the fact that some of the knowledge that I gain can feed into other sector. Like I remember I was working on a project about smallholder farmers, but then I was also working on another project on mining. And, you know, knowing the similarities of how things can feed into each other. So it's really to not have a compartmentalized mentality, but really seeing the connection. I like that. I like to see that, okay, so when we talk climate, that influence farming, but that also influence then mining, but that also influence technology and, you know, youth, how to support youth in finding employment, because we say that we have to give opportunities to youth. Okay, so how do we do that? Oh, there's opportunity in farming, there's opportunity in mining, there's opportunity in the working in the corporate space. So it's just finding ways to, what I like about it, what I've learned from it is how connected things are. Is, you know, if you are a young entrepreneur, you need knowledge in finance, and then you learn that, you know, this bank, for instance, organize training for young entrepreneurs in how to manage the finances. And all this is the fact that you have access to so many different knowledge, so many different how the world, different sectors are interconnected. It's also connect your mind to learn from that and tap into certain things to bring it to another. I hope that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense because everything is very interconnected. So
yeah,
it does make a lot of sense that that would be one of the lessons. And I think for me, it would be how every industry works differently and how everything is prioritized differently. So if you have a chance to work early, like young, if you're like me, young, and you have a chance to work in multiple industries in the space of 2 years, you learn a lot.
Like you learn
a lot from working with different people, interacting with different people, because then you also have access to like a variety of people that don't think the same, because the cultures and the things you need in those industries are totally different.
100%. So yeah. So that's why it goes back to being flexible, being open, and not being scared to, you know, put yourself out there. And we're talking about the youth a lot, but there's also people who are a little older who sometimes are scared to, you know, to venture into something else. Like maybe in your 20s or in your 30s, your priorities were, you know, being a mom or getting married. And then you like, okay, kids have grown, whatever. And this is now your opportunity to do what you're passionate about. It's, yeah, let's think about that and take those risks as well. So I know a lot of my friends, we are supporting each other in that, in making sure that, okay, what is it something that you would like to do Now, if this is not, you won't have that satisfaction in that promotion, what is it that you're going to get satisfaction in, and how can we support each other in that?
What advice would you give a young professional building their career in Africa?
I would advise them to go on the University of YouTube.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean,
learn a lot.
You know, I think this is what, because so many times I have people saying, yeah, but I don't know how to, you know, I don't have the means to go to that course, to go to that university, to get that certificate. And honestly, I'm just thinking, I'm taking the creative space as an example. There are so many people that I've learned who didn't have necessarily the academic supports, but they were just good in what they were doing, because everything is out there now, guys. Everything is out there. Everything, you can Google it, or you can find it on YouTube. And when I say University of YouTube, I'm not joking. There's so many things that I've learned through that, and the number of time that people are wasting on, you know, TikTok, and they could be, you know, just focusing 4 hours on structuring something for, you know, on branding or learning on a skill, just by focusing 4 hours on YouTube. This would move them, you know, they would 10x their revenue by doing that. And especially right now, I'm not saying that the formal academic sector is not important. Studying and going to uni or going to any, you know, trade school, etc., is super important. But you have the opportunity to film yourself and put yourself out there on your own without anyone approval. Just because you're good at what you're doing, people are going to listen to you because you're consistent. People are going to follow you. So that's what I would say. What I would say to people, University of YouTube, just know what you want to learn, or get to see what you're good at, and follow that path. And then, you know, even if you're a shy person, I mean, you know, I talk a lot, but I'm not big on social media. Like, I'm not pushing my brand that much. I have too much work. I need to spend more time doing that. But if you are shy, do, you know, like, faceless page. You know, you don't, not everybody is super, I understand people who are not necessarily super eloquent. For me, I was so hesitant to speak in English, because it's not my mother tongue. So I was like, oh, people will hear that I have an accent. I don't want to talk. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Until you realize that if you don't do it, there's no money coming. Someone else as well. And just, you know, a lot of things are happening in your head. So just go out there. And there's space for everyone. The world is big. That's the thing. The world is big. You never know what kind of influence you can have. I mean, for a while, I didn't have, you know, I was like, okay, in Zambia, I won't get, you know, jobs or opportunities because I can't do this, or I can't speak that language, etc. And then you find yourself that it's someone, you know, who's in Ghana, or someone who's in Addis in Ethiopia, that says that, oh, I've heard from you and I heard you doing this, and give you an opportunity. So you never know where it's going to come from, but just keep showing up.
Well, I agree. And unfortunately, we're coming to an end, but this was fun. I want to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
So, Aka, I know that you are, you know, you have many hats, but there's one that caught my attention, and it's the opportunity to give, you know, that platform that you're creating for mentorship. And I want to know why do you want to do this? Why do you think it's important for people to be mentored and be supported?
I think because it really does level the field for everybody. Certain people are just doing well because they have access to information, they have access to opportunities. Not that they're really great, right? So when you, I think information should be like a basic need as well, where we should all have access to basic information. So when I have, when I created an opportunity group, we, the thing was, everybody was asking me, how do you get to go to the US? How did you go to Europe? How did you go to South Africa? How did you get to do the things you're doing? How do you do your podcast? And I'm like, I feel like I don't need to be the hindrance of someone else's success. So sharing opportunity doesn't make me feel like this person will go ahead of me or anything. Because sometimes that's how people may look at it when they've had success and don't normally like to share opportunities. So for me, it was that. It's sometimes when I ask somebody, oh, how did you apply for that to get in? How were you able to have the UN pick you for this project? Like that type of question, and like then no one would give that information. So I said, well, we might as well just level the playing field and share these opportunities so all of us can have access to it. So the more we have access to opportunities, the more things are leveled, the more we have more young people explore and try out these opportunities. So the thing also that I noticed with Zambians is that we don't apply for a lot of opportunities. So there are a lot of opportunities, even globally, that we qualify for but don't know. So sometimes you can qualify, but you just don't know this opportunity exists. You might know this opportunity exists, but you don't qualify because you need to broaden your skill sets and these other things. So for me, it was just like, let's share the opportunities. Let's get them out there. Let's have more conversations about that. Because as young people in Zambia, we're really not having serious conversations. We're having conversations about everything else than other things that would make our country shine, make us as individuals shine, or even help us grow in our skill sets. So even the mentorship, I am trying to create a community where we have mentors and mentees that want to kind of find each other. So even for the next project I'm working on, it's how do I bring everything I'm doing to one thing? How do I just bridge the gap? Because I just want to be that person that bridges the gap between what people need and what they want. When they come to my platforms or my work, they're like, okay, I was looking for a mentor. I'm going to go on this platform by Tonse, and I'm going to find that. I am looking for this data. I'm going to go to ACAP. So it's that for me. It's just a struggle. Like, I never had it. Even if I'm very privileged in so many ways, I never had access to certain information. So it's like, hey, this is my struggle. So I guess a lot of people are struggling like me. So here's the information. And let's struggle together. Let's thrive together. But here is what we all need to thrive.
Amen. That's good. That's generous. That's good. And I'll be happy to be, you know, part of the mentors. this is great, because people think that they can evolve just doing things on their own, but we need each other. So the fact that you give opportunity like this to young people, and also, I mean, not just young people, because mentors should see that it's a privilege to be able to have young people that you support. It's not just a privilege from the receiving end, but also the fact that you can impart something in someone, a part of your skill. This is great. So I'll be happy to support that, Aika.
I can't wait you to join the next cohort. Or just anyway, I have a side story for you, but that's for our date. I know, which is in June, a few weeks, so I'm very excited about that. And my last question to you is, what do you look forward to?
So what I look forward to is, so I have decided that before the end of this year, I am going to be more intentional about the support I give to youth and young entrepreneurs. So I've created an ebook about, because I've done that with at UNSA with some youth of the Faculty of Economics that were, you know, launching, that were into entrepreneurship. And it was to, you know, what not to do, what not to say, and what to say to show that you're professional and you are worth you know, the big bucks. So not coming by saying that I'll pay whatever you want me to, you know, I'll get whatever you can pay, or things like that. You know, not being able to price your work, not being able to market your work professionally, holding yourself accountable and not saying that you will deliver in 3 days, yet you have been ghosting your client for 2 weeks. Like, you know, all those things, I've put it in an ebook that I'm finalizing to support entrepreneurs, creative, to professionalize their work and be sure that they keep in mind the finance side, but also the processes side and how to work with clients and colleagues. So I'll be happy to share that with you when I finalize it.
I can't wait to see that. I am very excited, and this was such a joy. It's such a joy to talk to on my end. Thank you so much for being here.
It's
been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Well, we are at the end of the podcast, and for everybody listening, I hope you enjoyed it and hope you learned a few stuff from Sandra and I. Please share it with a friend and look forward to Sandra's ebook. Bye for now.